And being a preacher, I don't get to sit in a pew and shout and hoop and holler and cry. And so I'm really my pump is prying, brother. I appreciate that, and I praise the Lord for that. And I have already sensed a real sweet spirit of being here, and I'm just honored. I really am. I'm just honored, brother. And you know, I'm just old country preacher. You know, I can't believe I'm sitting here. And man, if you only knew, what Jesus did in my life.
Amen.
And He could do the same thing for you, my friend. He can.
Amen.
And I appreciate this dear brother, and he did. He met me as a result of COVID, and we didn't. Neither one of us had COVID. He just when COVID struck, you know, I had only been a pastor. I started pastoring the church in 2019, and right away I just got hit with that, and I had a pulpit and I had a burden, and I just had to let it out. And I was upset, and I was burdened for my country, and so I had the keys to the church. So I just went up to the church every night, and turned the stupid phone on, and went to Facebook Live, and I just preached and yelled and sang, and I did that for 42 days in a row, and I felt a lot better about it. But through all that testimony, I wish I had time to talk about, you know, the really what happened as a result of that. But there's many folks that got right with God, and we actually added to our church as a result of that. And you know, and I will. Before COVID, I'd preach the devil out of Facebook. I really would. I did. I had it. My kids are smirking at me, you know. I had it because I had a business, and I used Facebook as an advertisement. And, but I didn't, you know, I just like any other preacher, you know. And then all of a sudden it hits and everybody becomes a televangelist, you know. And, but, you know, I praise the Lord for how God worked. And there was a point in time where we did have to shut down because COVID hit my family. But the Lord was real good to us and real gracious to us. I praise His name. I didn't have to do a funeral. Praise the Lord. I didn't have to bury any of my church members. And I've got a gal in my church that's 93 years old, and I've got some folks that are in their 80s, and so I praise the Lord that God was merciful to us. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, to Amos chapter number 3. I'll try to hasten. I do. I thank you, brother, for that music. I love the Lord.
Amen.
And I can sense a sweet spirit in the church house tonight, I love you, Pastor. And he allowed me to, and that's really special, brother. It really is. He allowed me to sit down with two of his new church members or disciples, converts, and just get to talk with them. And that's not something you see in the day in which we live. And so I appreciate that, brother. I praise the Lord for that. And that was good. There's a whole lot more I'd like to say, and I could say. But let's just get into the preaching of God's Word. And I thank you for praying, church. And I want you to just be with me during the message, all right? I'm not used to a pulpit with walls on it. I feel like this is Nehemiah's, you know, this is the city of Jerusalem. I mean, I don't have no walls around my pulpit. So I'm going to have to, I'll adjust. But I'm just thankful, man. By the grace of God, I'm here. I'm telling you right now, by the grace of, I'm telling you what. And, I mean, who'd have thought, man? Who'd have thought?
Amen.
And, boy, the old devil, man, he's twisting his whiskers right now. I know he is, man. Because he thought he had me. And I praise God for God's amazing grace. Amen. Amos chapter number 3, I'll try to just get right into it. And we're going to read Amos chapter number 3, verse number 1 through 3. The Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter number 3 and verse number 1, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." Verse number 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed. Let's pray together. Father, I need your help. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, would you please send to me, Lord. Lord, these folks need your help. Lord, they've come seeking revival. Lord, they've come with earnest in their hearts. And Lord, I happen to be, by the grace of God, the messenger for the hour. And so, Lord, I need your help. Would you empty me out of myself? God, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, God, I empty myself as best as I know how. Lord, would you fill me? Holy Ghost of God, would you hide me? I pray, Father, that I'd be an instrument of righteousness for your sake. God, please. I ask and plead that you'd bind the devil. Lord, please get the enemy out of the room, Lord. There'd be folks that are distracted. Maybe they've had a rough day at work. Maybe they're still thinking about things undone that need to be happened, taken care of after the meeting. God, would you help us and clear our minds, Lord, that we might just settle on the Word of God tonight. And I pray for that one that's lost. Lord, a lost people can come to revival on Monday night. Lord, I pray for that lost person, Lord, that one that's nearest to hell. God, would you speak to their heart tonight, Lord? In Jesus' precious name we ask, amen. Amen. Can two walk together except they be agreed? An agreement. The word agreed here means a line that has been fixed. This is not a line that moves. This is not a standard that changes. When God says that in order to walk with me, we must be in agreement, He's not consenting to the line being lowered to meet you halfway. People often confuse or pervert grace. They attempt to transform it into compromise as though through grace, God said, I know you can't come to reach me, so I will lower my standard so that you can reach me. But my friend, grace is not compromise on God's part. God did not lower the standard through grace. He, through grace, equipped you that you could walk in His way through Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1 through 3, the Bible says, There, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21, your Bible says there, And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and turn to the left, can two walk together, except they be agreed? Amos chapter number 7 and verse number 7 and 8, the Bible says there, Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. It is God who sets the standard. It is God who settles the conditions. And it is God who writes up the agreement, not man.
Yes, amen.
The Christianity of our day has presented the world with cheap grace and a casual God, having no expectations, no conditions, and no terms. I believe Micah the prophet summed these words, these wolves and the masses that drove over them. He said in Micah, the Bible says there in the book of Micah, If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. The modern world, the emergent church, this new age pseudo-Christianity presents a God that asks if he may bow before them that they may receive him. Not to take away and make new, that would be legalism. But that he may be carried along by them in their pride and self-love, along with the wagon load of sin and wretchedness that they refuse to cast off. But that plumb line cries out through the heavens. In Psalm 145, verse number 17, your Bible says there, The Lord is righteous in all of His ways, and holy in all of His works. Psalm 97, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, The hills shall melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people shall see His glory. Can two walk together except they be agreed? My friend, are you walking alone? The God of the Bible has a way wherein man must walk. Jesus Christ proclaimed, I am the way. Jesus Christ is the heavenly plumb line. If you have not come to Him on His terms, through his conditions, you're walking alone. I want you to take your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. What a terrible thought it is to be alone. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, and look at verse number 9 and 10. The Bible declares to us, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. In Ecclesiastes 4:10, what a terrible thought it is to be alone. You see, one says, well, I have my friends, and I have my family, and I have my clique and my crew. Humans are frail at best, and they're flattering to say the least, but during times of trial of the heart, during severe opposition, man flees from those whom he calls his confidence, from those he calls his friend. David said in Psalm 41, verse number 9, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Friends will forsake and fail you. Even your families can become distraught and callous towards one another. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob was left alone, your Bible says. Jacob had conned his older brother, and he conned and got the birthright, and he was in aught with his brother. He was scared to go back. Jacob in his youth had cowered to his elder brother Esau, and he fled from his mother's advice into the land of Paddan-Aram. And now after some 20 years, he's making his journey back with a full cartload of a family. But here we see that in his fear and in his plight, not one of his family members could help. There wasn't anybody strong enough to help carry the burden with him. The Bible says in verse 24 that he was left alone. And so is the lot of all those who refuse to walk in agreement with God. In his failure. Amen. Look what Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse number 11 says. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? What a cruel world we live in. A world that kicks you when you're down, that mocks your failures and spits upon your wounds. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, David is at his lowest point. His son had betrayed him and stolen the hearts of the people. His best friend and father-in-law had left his heel and lifted up his heel against him. He's fleeing here for his life with just the clothes upon his back, barefoot. And it can't get any worse than that. And then he hears screaming and cussing, and a man named Shimei comes up over the hilltop, shouting obscenities and throwing rocks and dirt and slandering the king with every step. And this world will do the same to you as well.
Amen.
But woe unto that one that is alone when the cold comes.
Right.
Look at verse number 12 of your Bible there in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 12. Your Bible says there, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Oh, the battles in life.
Amen.
The unannounced enemies, the tribulations. In 2 Samuel 23, we find one of David's mighty men, his name was Shammah, standing alone in battle. And that one that stiffens his neck at God and at God's line, who refuses to be in agreement with him, who rejects the walk with God, will face battles, wars and rumors of wars, within and without, but there will be no one to fight alongside with him. No one will be at his back. There will be nowhere to run. There will be no flee for safety. Someone here is alone. You're walking alone.
Yeah,
you've got no one to warm you.
Come on.
You've got no one to help you when you're down. You've got no one to pick you up when you fall. You've got no one to go to battle for you. And you are alone because of you. It's not God's fault. Can two walk together except they be agreed? One stiffens his neck and claims, well, I picked myself up by my own bootstraps, and I fought by my own paddles, and I'm a self-made man, and I don't need anyone or any God, and I've lived a full life alone. But what if you die alone? What if you close your eyes in death without God? David Sharp was 34 years old. As a matter of fact, he had only been 34 for about 3 months, when in the middle of May of 2006, he made plans to reach the peak of Mount Everest. He was no novice for sure. He'd already reached the summit of a mountain called Cho Anyo. I probably mispronounced it. Don't drop out of school, kids. That's the only laugh you're going to get tonight. It is the sixth highest mountain in the world, also located in Tibet. He was known as an avid mountain deer, physically fit, looked kind of like me, you know. A second laugh, I gave you one for free. He was in the prime of his life, and he was successful. But on May 15th of 2006, he was found alone, frozen to death, crouched in the cleft of what the mountaineers there known as Green Boots Cave, at almost 28,000 feet. And what is the most tragic detail of this story is that there were at least two other large groups of climbers that were on that mountain and that had seen him and were climbing at the same time. And they could have saved him, but he waved them on and died alone on top of the highest point in the world. And you may think you can climb to the top of the world without God, but you'll die alone. And then you'll stand alone before the God of all eternity. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says there, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says there, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. You say, oh, according to their works. Yeah, because the salvation train's already left. It is their works.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's their works of what punishment they'll get in hell.
Yep, that's right. Yes, sir.
Verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that's God's standard, by the way, that's God's way, through the blood of the lovely Lord Jesus, they were cast into the lake of fire. Man can shake his fist at God all he wants. He can snuff at his standard and mock his messengers, but there will come a day where the heavens and earth won't even stand next to you. But in Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, when the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? What if that verse is not an indictment to you, but rather an indicator? What if you are in agreement with him? What if you have accepted his standard, his way, his conditions, his plumb line? And what again is this standard? What is this line? What is these conditions? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, Jesus Christ is the standard, my friend.
Yes,
he is the plumb line. He is the way, not a way.
Amen.
The way. He is the line of agreement with God.
Yes.
And that's why we live for him.
Amen.
And that's why we live holy.
Yes.
And that's why we live in humility. And that's why we live honorably. Oh, that my steps would be close to his. That there would be nothing in the way. You see, Philippians 2 and verse 12 tells me to work out my own salvation. 1 Corinthians 11:28 tells me to examine myself. It says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. I'm supposed to examine my salvation. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I don't want anything getting in the way of my walk with him. I need his tender hand to pick me up when I fall. I need the warmth of his sunlight in the midst of this cruel and hateful world. And I need him to stand in the battles with me. I need somebody with a sword drawn ready to fight with me and for me. And all the world has turned their backs on me when no one else understands my desperate plea. Psalm 27 verse 10 says this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will lift me up.
Amen.
When no one understands me, when no one can help me, when everybody's left me, God's still with me.
Amen.
And you may say, I love him, I'm walking with him, and I'm trying to walk with his standard, but it seems like there's a mountain in front of me. You say, I love him, I'm in agreement with him, but he feels like he's 1,000 miles away from me, and I still feel like I'm alone. You may feel like there's a fire around you. But if you look in your Bible, there's a fourth man when they were in the fire.
Amen.
You may feel like you're in a storm in your life and your ship's about to go down for the last time. And that all hope is lost, but you remember there was another who said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." To that one who feels like you're in a prison with no help in sight, remember the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." But then he said in verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." He said, "No human could help me, and some had even walked away, but there was a hand from another world that stood where man could not." When your world crumbles, when the valley has no light in it, when there's no one else that understands, when there's no one else, when no one else's touch can do, when there's no one else whose voice can calm me, there's a Savior standing somewhere in the shadows. You're not alone, child of God. The Master is close. Just like Mary weeping in the garden, the Savior is near. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Someone is walking the road of life alone tonight. They're refusing to be in agreement with God. They're scoffing at His standard, or they're going about to establish their home. And they're going to fall alone. They'll fail alone. They're fearing alone. And one day, they'll die and face God alone. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." My friend, if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may not even make it into the parking lot. You have this moment, and that's it.
That's right.
You have this moment. The Bible says in the book of James that our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanishes away. You don't mind if I park here just for a minute, do you? You say, "Well, this is revival." I understand that. I was in the service one time and the treasurer got saved. Kind of sounds like your Bible. Don't look at the treasurer. I'm not getting any ideas from that. I saw you guys' heads turn. Don't do that. Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you walking alone? You're trying to fight life all by yourself. Trying to handle enemies that are too big for you. You're trying to shelter yourself in the cold and there's no one to get you warm. You're trying to deal with misunderstandings and cruelty from people and you don't know how they or why they could do such things. There's no one there to help you. There's a Savior that loves you. He died on the cross for you and He wants to save you. He wants to take you to a wonderful place called heaven, give you mansions of gold, streets that you can walk on. He wants to cast your sins as far as the east is to the west. He wants to put them in the depths of the seas of His forgetfulness. He wants to give you a new name that's written down in glory.
Amen.
But you can't have that alone. You can't have it alone. Child of God, I want to encourage you. Christian life is not easy, asked the Apostle Paul. There's battles in the Christian life. But if you are in agreement, if Amos chapter 3, verse number 3 is an indication of you, the Bible declares to us, can two walk together? He's walking with you if you're in agreement. And He's holding your hand. You know, the Bible talks about in John chapter 14, it talks about the Comforter. I was talking to this young couple down here. We were talking about that capital C. One that walks alongside. My wife and I had some hard times. Had some hard times, some dark valleys that we've experienced. Listen, friend, I tried all that stuff alone. It's a whole lot better with the warmth of the Savior next to you.
Amen.
With a hand that reaches down to you and touches heaven.
Amen.
That same hand, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that when we have no words to speak, He maketh utterings which cannot be interpreted according to the will of God. Are you walking alone tonight? Are you walking alone? I don't know you from Adam, and you don't know me, but now you're well acquainted with me. I don't know what time I started, but I'm generally a 25-minute preacher. I get in, unload, blow both barrels, and then take off. We started having on the first Sunday of every month, we have a potluck at our church, and my wife is such a spiritual Christian. We've started having Sunday nights, and we've really been rejoicing, and we praise the Lord for that. But we have the potluck I'm supposed to preach after I get done with the potluck. But you got to understand, when I get done preaching, I don't want to see nobody. I want to go run and hide most times. And I just do. I don't know what it is. I get done preaching. I yell at you for 25 minutes, tell you you're going to hell, and then I just want to get out of the way. And I just do. I'm not a very personable preacher. I'm trying, brother. I'm trying to learn. I really am. I'm trying to be the guy that sits in the back and says, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?" It's like, yeah, the guy that just told you you're going to burn in hell for all the time. "Hey, how you doing?" So she's like, "Honey, aren't you going to tell the folks that there's another service?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to tell them." I just got done yelling at him. Now a half an hour later, I'm going to yell at him again. That's why the Bible says the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
You'd have to be a fool. If the power of God wasn't involved in what I was doing,
Amen.
You'd have to be a fool to stand there and sit in a pew and let me yell at you for 25 minutes and then pass an offering around and give me money. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever... If it was just man. But God said in the book of Titus that by the foolishness of preaching... And I praise God for His work in my life. Are you walking alone tonight? I want you to have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Preacher, I'll have you come in a moment. Are you walking alone tonight? Do you have the Savior?